But if you close your eyes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to This Week Again. I'm your host, Suzanne Posel. We're going to start off this show with the latest in celebrities or assholes, too. Move on to what the fuck is going on with disaster aid for California, and follow all of that up with an update on our ongoing docuseries, What's TikTok Got to Do with America's Final Season? Let's begin, shall we? Nothing says stop idolizing celebrities like that Vulture article about Neil Gaiman, for the simple premise that just because someone has a talent does not mean that they are at all a good person. That equation always baffled me. Why do we immediately say, because we like the stories they write, the characters that they portray in movies or television, or the music that they make, that this somehow makes them a reflection of better than us morality that we should all aspire to be? And of course, by their products they peddle and support the companies they start. But never mind all of that, because that's just obviously capitalism fueled by the societal norm we affectionately call celebrity worship, which is contingent on the public's adoration of the celebrity, a bond that shouldn't be manipulated through the portrayal of a completely new version of a beloved character that only serves to mock someone the celebrity has beef with. Yeah, I'm looking at you, nice pool.
Look, man, you didn't ask for any of this. You were right. I lied.
And while that's all bad enough, the worst kind of celebrity is the one who does something so out of pocket, they lose 1.5 million Spotify users in a single day. I'm talking about...
Country music star Carrie Underwood is expected to perform at Donald Trump's second presidential inauguration. Fox News reports it was confirmed by a spokesperson for the inaugural committee.
Carrie telling ET in a statement, "I love our country and am honored to have been asked to sing at the inauguration and to be a small part of this historic event. I am humbled to answer the call at a time when we must all come together in the spirit of unity and looking to the future."
Underwood told The Guardian in 2019, "I try to stay far out of politics if possible." In 2017, Underwood also mocked Trump during a parody song while co-hosting the CMA Awards with Brad Paisley.
Now, don't think for a second it was lost on anyone that flip-flop Underwood made fun of elderly Julius back in 2017 on the Orange Trash Panda's favorite Saturday night skit show, only to end up agreeing to perform at his coronation 8 years later. But yeah, keep telling yourself that this is all about unity and you're just answering a call that most people have the good sense to block on the phone as it's potentially spam. And while we're on the subject of people becoming their own parody, a brilliant vocal talent like Sarah Hester Ross will keep making appropriate parodies like this, as long as people like Carrie Underwood keep doing what they're doing. Take a listen.
Well, she dragged her tongue along his shoes and licked every square inch of his lifted boots. Got on her knees and kissed his golden ring. She took the felon's money and compromised, shaking her butt for his creepy eyes. Maybe next time she'll think before she sings.
Oh, we can only hope. But while we're on the subject of pick-me's who can't help but Karen everywhere they go, South Carolina's poor excuse for a house rep, and the only woman I know of who uses her experiences with rape and sexual assault as her brand, Miss Nancy Mace, is no stranger to transphobia. From wearing an arm sling on Capitol Hill after having a trans woman escorted out of an event for shaking Nancy's hand, to using derogatory descriptions of trans people, Nancy has made hating a marginalized group a lucrative venture. Between 2023 and last year, Nancy made $3.3 million with her Republican Jesus brand of feminism. So it should come as no surprise that at a House meeting, discussing civil rights, Nancy decided to make a bigoted distinction between biological and trans women while simultaneously advocating for the denial of rights to one particular group. And I'm sure you can guess which one. And while an elected public servant using the phrase chicks with dicks might get you some clout on Fox Not a News Channel, during business hours, it gets you the ire of the fabulously quick with a quip from Texas, Miss Jasmine Crockett. Roll tape.
A House Oversight Committee hearing was briefly derailed yesterday after Representative Jasmine Crockett's criticism of Nancy Mace's fixation on anti-trans messaging led to this extraordinary moment.
I can see that somebody's campaign coffers really are struggling right now. So she gonna keep saying trans, trans, trans so that people will feel threatened. And child, listen, I want y'all
I
to
am
tell
no
me
child.
Whether or
Do not,
not
call me a child. I am no child.
I want
Don't
to
even
find
start.
Out.
I am a grown
which
woman.
Which of those emails
I have
actually
broken
have
ceilings
in your
Chairman,
I am reclaiming my time.
You will not do that. Order. I am not a
Chairman,
child.
I am reclaiming my time.
If you want to take it outside,
Mr. Chairman.
Republican Chair James Comer ultimately ruled that threatening another member is okay as long as it's in the form of a question or if, you know, it's Republicans doing it.
The chair's going to make a rule. What the gentlelady said was we can take this outside if you want. And
okay, so
that
so,
could mean you could go outside and have a cup of coffee or perhaps a beer or, you know, I mean, we have
seriously,
lots
Chairman?
Of conversations outside. I'm going to rule that it was, just a...
That it's okay.
It's okay.
Well, you heard James the Giant Comaverse say it. When you're in the middle of an argument at work, you can say take it outside, and that's just an invitation to Starbucks, and not an informal way of inciting a fight, which is also an argument, to a more violent level as defined by dictionary.com. Because little did we all know, the Project 2025 hellscape Republicans Nancy and James plan on implementing over the next 4 years also includes redefining well-established words and phrases. Almost as if nothing matters. And when I say nothing, I mean the very rules that make up our government, whether federal or state, that elect public servants must abide to as a condition of their job. It's in their job description. For example, I present to you what in the fascist shit is happening in the Minnesota State House.
A new legislative session is off to a rocky start at the Minnesota State Capitol.
Half of the Minnesota House sat empty this afternoon as Democrats and Republicans accused each other of illegitimate power grabs.
Meanwhile, Democrats did not show up today to deny quorum or the minimum number of people required to do anything in the House. But Republicans disagree about the interpretation of quorum and said they did meet that threshold, allowing them to proceed business as usual without Democrats and elect GOP leader Lisa Daymuth, Speaker of the House.
And now, as expected, both the DFL and Secretary of State are taking legal action, asking the state Supreme Court to declare the Republicans' actions illegal.
They're also asking the Supreme Court to stop the Republicans from being able to move forward with meeting in the House chamber because they say they don't have a quorum. But Republicans say unless the courts intervene that they plan to move ahead. They're going to press on with their agenda.
Now, you might ask yourself, this isn't democracy going on in Minnesota, and you would be right. The Republicans have decided a coup d'etat is the way their party is going to govern now that they've lost their majority in the state house thanks to a county judge. Their candidate, Aaron Paul, lost a court challenge to the Democrat, Brad, who won in the last election, and giving Minnesota Dems and the Republicans both 67 seats in the state house, meaning both sides have to work together to get anything done. And guess what? This did not sit well with the Minnesota GOP, who had 67 sitting members of their party to the Dems' 66 members at the time of the first state house session that ended within minutes because Dems refused to attend, denying quorum, which I'm sure sounded something like this.
No. No.
So So now the Dems have lawyered up at their own expense, using campaign funds to finance their legal fight to maintain democracy. And Republicans have decided Minnesota taxpayer money will be used to defend themselves in court, because why not steal the money from your constituents when you've already stolen their government? And because you lost an election. I mean, isn't that the example of electing a convicted felon who incited an insurrection over losing an election sets in the first place? I mean, talk about a presidential mistake. And by mistake, I mean a lot of things. But to narrow it down to just one, how about the wildfires currently burning California out of existence?
Trump shared a meme on Truth Social of fires raging behind the Hollywood sign, which was photoshopped to read, "Trump was right."
The New York Post posted these images of President-elect Donald Trump driving a golf cart wearing a "Trump was right about everything" hat.
On X, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene asked, why don't they use geoengineering, like cloud seeding, to bring rain down on the wildfires in California? They know how to do it.
Alex Jones wrote that Los Angeles fires are part of a larger globalist plot to wage economic warfare and deindustrialize the United States before triggering total collapse.
The whole thing is a complete disaster. A lot of it comes back to DEI.
Kristen Crowley, the fire chief in Los Angeles, the first gay female fire chief ever. Wow.
Under her is Christina Kepner, first lesbian assistant chief. Under her is Christine Larson. She's also a lesbian. Christina, lesbian.
Newsom should be ashamed of himself. DEI, illegal immigrants, climate fanatics, that's a priority for California. But the people of California who need water when their homes are burning, when their livestock is threatened, when their businesses are at risk of burning to the ground, apparently they're out of luck.
And apparently Laura Ingraham doesn't want us to wonder if she's a moron because she says this stupid shit out loud. Take the talking point maggots like her have parasitically attached themselves to, that there is a water shortage in California caused by the LA mayor being a lesbian and California's Gavinator Newsom not raking the forests before wildfire season. This concept of a narrative only makes sense to people who don't understand what effect climate change is having on us right now. Because according to Stephanie Pincel, the director of sustainable cities at UCLA, it's the mega fires year after year that cause flaming tornadoes California's water reserves cannot keep up with, stupid. There's enough water to handle the wildfires of the past, but the amount of water needed to extinguish these climate change-fueled monster fires of recent years is more than California can handle, especially when more than 40% of their water is regulated to farmers in the most unregulated way, allowing them to take upwards of 50% if we're dealing with reality. Combine usage of water by farmers with not being able to prepare with increasingly unpredictable fires, and you've got what's happening in California right the fuck now. But who cares about facts? Why, not the smallest speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who sees an opportunity to get the Dems to vote for eliminating the debt ceiling so that California residents can get the disaster relief they so desperately need.
I expect that there will be strings attached to money that is ultimately approved.
I think there should probably be conditions on that, Dave. That's my personal view.
Before we put funds into place, we've got to find out exactly how we're going to hold these leaders accountable and what sort of policy changes are required.
There can't be a blank check on this.
They don't deserve anything, to be honest with you, unless they show us they're going to make some changes.
The next melding.
Disaster relief. It'll be part of the reconciliation discussion and debate. No one wants to leave any American who is in need hanging, so to speak, right? But at the same time, we recognize we have a $36 trillion federal debt, and we have to balance these needs. It's about priorities.
It is outrageous for Speaker Johnson to try to tie disaster relief to unrelated concepts like the debt ceiling. We should not be leveraging the pain and suffering of our fellow Americans to try to force through policy changes.
Well, duh, Senator Ted Lieu, but to be fair, this kind of bait and switch worked for the maggot Republicans before on previous bills, so Can you blame them for trying again? So for exposition purposes, back in the long ago time of March 2024, 352 House Dems and Republicans voted to ban TikTok in an aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and the Indo-Pacific. Then 79 senators from both sides of the aisle agreed with their colleagues in the House, and President Biden signed the ban into law, creating a mess some congressional politicians are now regretting. Because this fuckery has apparently inspired any number of the 170 million Americans on TikTok to forget about ever voting for politicians who voted to ban the app, especially the ones who used it to get to where they are today. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Cory Booker.
Oh, that's terrible.
You seem kind of psyched.
No, I'm bummed.
Now, after the TikTok ban was signed into law, the clock started for a divestiture of the app from their parent company, ByteDance, because China. Which is silly, because TikTok is majority owned by Americans, holding 60% of TikTok's company shares, with the rest divvied up between the employees and the corporation's Singaporean CEO. But who cares about facts when at the time of the ban, our politicians were reacting to not how on board the American public ended up being with the Israel has a right to defend itself excuse for genociding Palestinians from Gaza because Israel wants to build a port of commerce where 1.5 million people were previously living. Definitely not the United States Congress, who became deeply disturbed by the videos Palestinians were making of the destruction Israel was raining down on them via American-made bombs and provided weapons going viral on TikTok. Not to mention insider extraordinaire from Texas, Rep. Mike McCall, who penned the TikTok ban and just so happened to purchase an additional $1.5 million in Meta stock the day his bill was signed into law, bringing the total investment of Mr. McCall to Mike Zuckerberg to nearly $500 million when all was said and done. Oh, and let's not forget that the majority of Democrats and Republicans who voted for the ban also have combined hundreds of millions of insider traded money in Meta, because that's not at all sus.
Jumping juniper, golden egg, 24 karat solid gold. I'm rich.
And so it came to pass that after the ban was signed into law by President Biden, TikTok took their fight to the bogus SCOTUS because they knew it was about content and not national security or data collection. Because if that were true, why is Facebook still around after they were found to have allowed all kinds of Russian propaganda onto their platform during the 2016 election season, as long as the rubles were good? Combined with that, Facebook admitted back in 2018 that they sell American user data directly to China that they've collected from phones that have the app downloaded to it. It's clear that the TikTok ban has nothing to do with national security or data collection, and everything to do with the fact that Zuck the Schmuck has spent $7.2 million on U.S. congressmen and women and the House to convince all of them to get rid of his competitor, TikTok, a company started by a former Facebook intern turned CEO of Meta's biggest competitor, which got the newly permed Mark all in his feels. So back to the present day, and the jesters on the Supreme disaster are showing they're way beyond retirement age during their hearing on TikTok. And that prompts nearly 170 million Americans to respond to the real idea that their app is going to be banned in the most Gen X way possible.
Amid fear a TikTok ban could take effect, some Americans flocking to Chinese apps like RedNote.
I'm a TikTok refugee.
RedNote is owned and operated by the Chinese Communist Party.
One thing that I've noticed since being on RedNote for like the last 2 days is how much more advanced the Chinese culture is than what I had in my brain.
Most of these Chinese people, they look so much less traumatized than most Americans. I am no longer convinced that we are living in a first world country.
While lurking on Red Note, I found out about this car. We can't sell this car because it's Chinese. It's like $15,000, which is affordable.
I made a new bestie. She ended up going to the market and sent me a picture of her local market, corn on the cob, 94 cents. What would it be here in America, you might ask? $7. Is this what they don't want us to know?
Yeah. In what can only be described as...
You done messed up, Aaron!
So now after the fact, some of the politicians on Capitol Hill who voted for the TikTok ban have realized the jig is up, and Americans do not give a fuck about national security concerns over data collection when two things have become blatantly clear. Number one, our government only cares about China getting American data when the company isn't controlled by American oligarchs. Because like I said earlier, if Congress was so twisted over China getting our data, then why is it okay for Zuck the Fuck and President Musk to sell our data directly to China and Russia and anyone else? And by the way, Facebook has legit allowed Russian propaganda onto their platforms going back to 2016 during an election year, which resulted in real people organizing, insurrecting, and generally becoming domestic terrorists. But hey, all that did was benefit the commander-in-chief during his first turn at becoming America's first dictator. And now, go figure, he's going to run America into the ground thanks to the poorly educated. Like the continued influence of Russia and China on our politics through meta platforms. And the incel meetup, formerly known as Twitter, isn't the actual real threat to our national security. And another thing, the majority of our elected insider traders on Capitol Hill have each invested anywhere from $1,000 to $450 million in Meta before and since they voted for the TikTok ban. The same TikTok run by a former Facebook intern Marky Mark is still pissed off at, for making a better social media platform than all the crap Meta has combined. And we're all supposed to believe that the majority American-owned TikTok's data collection is the actual problem and not a tech nerd's vendetta over his competitor or Congress pearl-clutching over Americans getting to see Israeli genocide that isn't curated through corporate news first. Because to that, I say fuck off. Now, as of the recording of this show, TikTok is set to go dark on January 19th because although President Biden has said in the 11th hour that he would not enforce the ban during his last day in office, he kept his crusty old lips shut when it comes to the American companies like Oracle, who house TikTok on servers in California, preventing them from getting in trouble for continuing to do services on the 19th. And that is where it gets sticky. It's like your parents taking away internet access by changing the Wi-Fi password, but letting you keep your laptop. So sure, you've got your phone, but you can't log in. So if the U.S. government is going to rally behind Senator Longlegs Cotton performative rage over TikTok, Red Note, and China, which pairs perfectly, by the way, with his new book that Cotton has coming out about China, that I predict will receive the most bad reviews on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or wherever you can see book reviews. And the 7 million American-owned businesses that are operated from TikTok that will be harmed or shuttered because Congress wants to make sure American social media only promotes American propaganda to Americans, should come together and sue these Meta stock investors right out of office. These people are losing income, support for their families, and will not be able to contribute upwards of $24.2 billion to the US GDP like they did last year for all the unconstitutional reasons that I and many others have been talking about. Because
from now on, we're doing this our way. Fair is fair. We didn't start this. We didn't mean it to happen, but we're not giving up till you pay. Fair is fair.
And that's all I have to say about that. New episodes of This Week Again air every Sunday. You can follow me, Suzanne Posel, or the show This Week Again on social media platforms like Blue Sky or wherever else you can find us. We are always available for your listening pleasure on places like Spotify, iHeartRadio, Audible, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you so much for listening to this show. Ta-der for now.